I'm Jeff Sickinga, Executive Director of the Ashbrook Center, and this is The American Idea, where we discuss the ideas, people, and events that have made America what it is today. We believe that by understanding our history and our principles, we can better live up to the promise of the American founding and preserve our ongoing experiment in self-government. Welcome to The American Idea.
Thank you for joining us today for The American Idea. I am Kara Rogers Stevens, Associate Professor of History at Ashland University and one of your hosts for The American Idea podcast. Our guest today is Rachel Liu. Rachel is the Associate Editor at Law and Liberty and a contributing writer at National Review and at America Magazine. She has a PhD in philosophy from Cornell University, is a former Peace Corps volunteer, and writes on politics, culture, religion, and family life. She lives with her husband and her sons on a lake in St. Paul, Minnesota. Her latest essay for Law and Liberty offers one of the more controversial opinions I've read in a while. In fact, she argues for almost exactly the opposite of what I thought everybody agreed on and have long believed. Here's the issue. You know how awful it is twice a year when you have to switch your clocks back or forward by 1 hour? I particularly hate doing this in the fall when it's already getting colder and darker. And I live in Ohio, so it's pretty cold and dark here. And then one day I find myself getting up in the dark and getting home in the dark as well. I hate it. It messes with my sleep schedule. It messes with my friends' kids' sleep schedules. And for years, I have believed that one of the easiest political wins would just be for our elected officials to end daylight savings time already. But then I read this article, and Rachel's extremely controversial opinion is that we should actually not change the status quo. And she has some very compelling reasons why. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, first of all, what is daylight savings time? Can you just give us a little bit of a background on this? Where did it come from and what is it?
Daylight savings actually originated in the mid-20th century. Since 1966, most Americans have switched their clocks twice a year, as we say, falling back to standard time in November, and then flashing ahead to daylight savings time in the spring. And the original plan here was to be more efficient. They thought that this would save us money on energy if we tried to conserve the daylight so that we weren't needing to turn on lights in our houses as often. So that was the original sort of idea behind daylight savings. And we've been doing it for decades now, with a brief interruption in 1973 when Richard Nixon decided maybe we should not do that anymore. And he put us permanently on daylight savings time. That only lasted for a year because Americans hated it. And so he moved us back, or actually Gerald Ford moved us back the following year to clock switching. And ever since then, we have been doing this in the fall and the spring, where we move either forward or back in keeping with when the sun is up.
Wow, that is interesting. I have to admit, so I'm a historian, so I was doing some research on the origins of this idea, and the earliest origin I could find was Benjamin Franklin. I don't know if you've heard the story, but apparently he wrote a satirical essay while he was living in Paris in the 1780s, and he suggested that Parisians change their sleep schedules to save money on candles and lamp oil. At the time, it was more of a joke, but this was actually an idea that was implemented during the First World War, first by Germany in 1916. And then America apparently experimented with this as well during World War I.
Right.
The Department That's of Defense right. called it wartime. But it wasn't, as you've noted, it wasn't permanent. It was just a temporary measure until the 1960s. And since then, it has become, is it fair to say, increasingly controversial among Americans? Are we now more divided than ever over the issue of daylight savings time?
I think it has created controversy periodically over the years. And it seems like an issue that comes up, sort of bubbles up every few years, right? So it actually, we had our last one just, I guess, what was it, 2021? So just a few years ago, when Marco Rubio suggested the Sunshine Protection Act, right? So that would have put us permanently on daylight savings, so summertime. That was first introduced in 2018. So, I mean, I think it comes up periodically. I don't know whether it's getting more controversial in our everything, I guess, is getting more controversial in our time. We like to fight about all the things now. But I think there is often controversy about it because people don't really like switching clocks. It often looks like it's an easy legislative win. And so when people are looking for some kind of a thing to do, then it tends to pop up. But I think we often end up then coming back to the same points that many people made this last November when Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy brought it up on Twitter and they said, we should go back to permanent standard time. We should stick with winter time year round. Tom Cotton said the same thing. This is what we should do. But then the same points keep arising in every circumstance. Well, actually, there are some reasons why we have daylight savings times. Many people benefit from it. And we sort of remember what those are every time the conversation comes back into the public eye.
Yeah. And it seems like there are different opinions from sleep experts, medical experts, parents. So, for example, I've heard arguments that there are more traffic accidents and heart attacks that occur when we switch our clocks around. So are these legitimate concerns? Are these things that you think we should be giving weight to?
That argument comes up every time this conversation arises. And I think basically the argument is, the weekend of daylight savings time, there are more unnatural deaths, like you say, more heart attacks, more car accidents. That is true in the spring. It's actually the reverse in the fall. There are fewer heart attacks and car accidents in the time when, in the weekend, when we get extra sleep, right? So if we get an extra hour of sleep, there are fewer heart attacks. And then in the weekend, when we lose an hour of sleep, there are a few more. But, you know, I found a report from the Mayo Clinic. I'm Minnesotan, right? So I have to look and see what the Mayo Clinic has to say, right?
Of course.
And the Mayo Clinic said, it's negligible is basically what they said. There are a few, but it's a very tiny bump. I don't want to be callous, of course, but I do have to wonder if a person is having a heart attack over a lost hour of sleep. It sort of seems like that person must be in very poor health already. It's just sort of hard to see how this 1 hour of sleep could be a lethal threat to lots of healthy and hale Americans. But again, I don't want to sound callous, but even if that sounds callous, then we actually kind of make up for it on the other end with the extra hour of sleep. So I don't really think that should be a consideration. I think that's really more of one of those attention grabbing things that people bring up.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. It maybe speaks to Americans' need to prioritize sleep more than to the debate over the timing of it. So just to make sure that I'm clear on what the different arguments on the table are. One option that is being debated is ending daylight savings time. And this is the option that is supported by Elon Musk. And if we ended daylight savings time, this would result in more light earlier in the day. Am I right about that?
Kind of. Let me maybe break out the options a little
bit. Good. Thank you.
So it's a little bit misleading to just ask whether people wish to continue switching their clocks back and forth. Because if we stop switching our clocks, then we have to make a further decision. Do we want to live on standard time, so winter time, you might say, or do we want to live on daylight savings time, so summertime? So it's really more accurate to think of three options. We can go on switching our clocks, we can live all year round on winter time, or we can live all year round on summertime. Those are really the options. So if you just ask people, do you want to keep switching your clocks or not? That doesn't necessarily tell you which of the three available possibilities they most prefer, right? They might say, I don't like switching my clocks. But then if you say, okay, so you care when we get light? They might say, oh yeah, I really care about that. If you're taking away my light summer evenings, then absolutely no, I'll go back to switching my clock, right? So if you really want to know what people want, you have to present those three options. And in my experience, most people, and really, you might say there are three good things that we can have that people really care about, right?
Okay.
One is constancy in our sleep patterns, right? Some people really care about that, right? Not needing to switch back and forth with our clocks. The second is...
I vote for that. I hate switching the clocks. I get confused every time. Am I falling forward or am I falling backward? I can never remember.
Right. And I actually don't really care about that. I say this in the article. I say, you know, I'm a working mom of five boys. I have not glimpsed the circadian rhythm in over a decade, I think. Like, I don't even notice. when we switch the clocks. It does nothing to me. So I don't care about that part at all. But some people really do. I mean, not everybody has to be me, right? So that is one thing that people care about. They care about consistency and sleep patterns. Okay. A second thing that people care about is having light in the mornings. So people do seem to particularly hate having to get up and start their day in the dark. Obviously, that's mainly an issue in winter. So parents especially hate it. Something about sending your kids out into the pitch black to walk to school is especially unsettling. But adults can care about this too, right? They don't like walking across dark parking lots. They don't like settling into their desk at work with the window still black outside. Somehow, light signals to us it's a new day, and people find it depressing to have to go to work in the mornings or send their kids off to school in the dark. So that's the second thing. So there's light mornings. And there's a third thing, which is you could say light evenings, but that actually doesn't fully capture it because it's really more light in general, right? Because in the winter time, most of us are awake for most of the time that it's light, right? There isn't as much light, but we're probably awake for most of it. But in the summer, that's not true, right? And that's not necessarily true in the spring and fall either. We tend to wake up after sunrise, sometimes a long time after sunrise. So if we stay on winter time, and we live year round with the earlier sunrises, then most of us are going to miss out on a lot more sunlight than we presently do. And David Silver had a post on this in which he estimated that most Americans are going to get about 40 minutes a day less light if we live year round on permanent winter time, on standard time. So that's something that people do care about. And I think for good reason. What does that mean in practice? Well, that means that often in the spring and the fall, you're going to get off work and maybe have 35 minutes before it's dark, right? So if you like in the spring and the fall, taking a walk or going for a picnic or doing something outside, you may not have time for that anymore if we live year round on winter time. That might mean that for me, I'm a mom and my kids play sports. That means their cross country meets and football games, I'm often going to be watching them in the dark. I'm going to be picking them up from practice in the spring and fall, and it's already going to be getting dusky and we're not going to have any time when we get home doing anything outside, right? So that's
because the sun came up at 4 a.m. when everybody was still in bed, and so we missed that chance to be outside in the sunshine. Okay,
exactly.
Yep, got it.
The light is not at the time that we actually are going to use it, so we're just not going to have as much light. So those are the three things you might really care about: constancy in sleep, light mornings, more light overall. And you might think of it as a pick two. We can have two of those things, but we can't have all three. If we stop switching our clocks, sorry about that, then we will have to either live with dark mornings or give up more light overall. So I personally, since I don't care about switching clocks, it's an easy call for me. I'm on team status quo. Let's switch our clocks, have light in the mornings, have as much light as we can overall, done. But obviously not everybody shares those priorities. But you do have to understand that if you want to give up the clock switching, then you have to make one of the two other sacrifices.
So either I'm stuck with the light is going to come earlier in the winter time. So I'm going to wake up and maybe have a better chance that it'll be light by the time I get to work. But then in the summer, I'm going to get off of work and only have an hour or two of daylight left. Or I could have less light in the winter in the morning times, but have more light in the later day, if we go with permanent, which one is that? Permanent.
That's daylight savings.
Yes.
So that would be permanent summertime. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
That's the one that Marco Rubio is supporting.
Yes. Marco Rubio already proposed legislation, which didn't end up moving forward, but he proposed legislation. He called it the Sunshine Protection Act.
Yeah.
That suggests we should live year round on summertime, daylight savings time, right? So that would give us the dark mornings in winter. A lot of us are going to be going to work and school in the dark, but it also gives us more light overall in our lives, right? But we wouldn't have to switch clocks.
I feel like the winter mornings are going to be dark. It doesn't really matter to me if there's 40 extra minutes of that or not. I think maybe this is more pertinent to those of us who have slightly more flexible morning schedules. People whose children have to get up super early to go to school or perhaps going to care more about that option than people who don't have to be at work until 9 or perhaps work from home and have some more flexibility there. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's true that,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's true that a lot of people are outside for a relatively brief space in the morning, maybe when they're driving right. to work or they're taking their kids to school. And if it's not light at that time, they may not really see the light or be out in the light until maybe the very end of the day. And so they just sort of are like, can I just have that little moment of standing in the sun before I plunge into my work or my school day or whatever? People kind of care about that. So that, I think that's why a lot of people disliked when we did actually try, right? In 1973, that's what Nixon did. He put us on summertime year round. The interesting thing about that was that move was very popular when he passed it. People thought they wanted it, but it plunged in popularity when we got to winter and people found they really didn't like losing that moment of light in the morning. So the interesting thing too, is that if you look at the few surveys that do actually ask people to choose between the three options, so I did find one from Monmouth University that actually presented three options and asked people to choose. Living year-round on daylight savings, permanent summertime, is the most popular option when you ask people. Okay. But that is also the one that we tried and didn't like as much as we thought we would in the early 1970s. So would we like it more now, or would people again decide that they like that less than they think? Hard to say.
Before we continue with our conversation, I'd like to have one of our faculty members tell you about a special documents-based graduate program for teachers of American history, government, and civics.
Hi, this is John Moser, chair of the Master of Arts in American History and Government program at Ashland University. If you are an educator who teaches U.S. history, government, or politics, our program may be just what you've been looking for. Our approach is to emphasize primary sources, since we think the best way to study the past is to read the words of those who lived it. We have a distinguished faculty made up of professors from both Ashland University and from colleges and universities across the country. And they're not there to lecture to you. We think it's better to learn through conversation about the documents. Ours is a hybrid program with two different types of seminar. The first are our week-long intensive in-person courses during the summers on the beautiful campus of Ashland University. The second are our live synchronous online seminars offered throughout the year. So if you're a social studies teacher and you're looking to deepen your understanding of America's past and its politics, please check out the Master of Arts in American History and Government program. You can do that by visiting tah.org/programs.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if technology or lifestyle changes or more people working from home would make a difference in public opinion to the 70s. That's really interesting. Okay. And then we should also note, does daylight savings time affect different geographic regions in different ways? Are there going to be varieties of opinion depending on whether you live in Florida versus whether you live in Ohio or Minnesota?
There is some. It's not really dramatic, but in the northern areas, like where I live, then daylight savings, or rather clock switching, is more popular than in more southern regions. That, I think, is not terribly surprising, because I think when the range of time that you have light is more extreme, you're more likely to say, I care a lot about getting that light at times when I can use it. Whereas people who live further south might be more likely to say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's sort of livable in each case. Maybe I care more about the sleep stability. Maybe that's higher now on my priority list. It's also true that people's preferences vary some depending on how close they are to a particular time zone cutoff point, right? So they do care about whether the time at each winter and summer is going to be at least sort of okay and livable, or are they going to be stuck in some super wacky thing where the sun comes up at 4 a.m. and goes down at 3 in the afternoon or something? Nobody wants to live like that, right? So, I mean, those kinds of things do affect particular towns and counties and stuff like that, and how people feel about daylight savings there.
So, for example, in New York City, with daylight savings time, the way that things are now, on the longest day of the year, the sun rises at 5:24 a.m. and it sets at 8:31 p.m. in June. If we reverted to year-round standard time, as Elon and Trump are proposing, those times would change. Sunrise would be 4:24 a.m. and sunset would be at 7:31 p.m. So kind of a more drastic shift away from having that extra light in the evenings in the summertime.
Right.
But those numbers are going to be different in some other parts of the country.
Yes. And also you need to remember that it's often really not the midsummer that is going to be the most interesting, but it's going to be like what's happening in September and like April and May, right? Because in the summer, the days are so long that maybe a 7:30 sunset doesn't sound that bad, but it's going to be quite a bit earlier than that in September and May, right? So that's sometimes what you need to look at.
That's a really great point. Now, something else that was really interesting about your article was the title. You've called this article, quote, sleep training the American people. And this is because in the article, you compare changing daylight savings time to parents who try to put their babies onto a rigid sleep schedule. And this is particularly pertinent in my life. I'm expecting my first child here in a couple of months. So I'm very deeply invested in preserving as much sleep as I can.
Of course,
I'm Googling a lot of things about sleep training at the moment. Can you get into this analogy for us a bit? What does sleep training have to do with the debate over daylight savings time?
Well, first of all, congratulations. I love hearing that news from
people. Thank you.
And I would say, obviously, I'm being a little bit playful here when I talk about sleep training.
Sure.
I actually did not sleep train my babies. But as I say in the article, I don't judge anybody else who did. When you're a new parent, you're just trying to figure out how everybody in the household can get sleep. So sleep training, right, is basically just where you get your baby or young child used to sleeping on a very deliberate schedule, right? We always get up at this time and we always go to bed at that time. And it's at least somewhat possible to train kids to do that. Different kids are more resistant to it, but you know, but often parents will use that as a strategy for ensuring that everybody gets sleep. The reason I bring it up in the article is just because it seems to me that a lot of the people who are advocating a move to permanent standard time, right, the winter time, mm-hmm. are acting like our nanny is trying to sleep train us, right? So actually, when you look at the survey data, the thing that Musk and Ramaswamy are suggesting that Tom Cotton wants is highly favored by sleep experts, but among the American people in general, it is the least popular option. When you actually ask people between the three options, like the Monmouth University survey did, something like 15% say that that's what they want. There are twice as many people who want to stick with the status quo as people who say they want to do what Musk and Cotton and Ramaswamy are telling us to do. So then you say, well, why would we do that then? That's not what most people want. Well, a lot of times the arguments for it end up drawing heavily on these sleep experts who basically say it is good for us to match our circadian rhythms to the Earth's natural tilt.
Okay.
So they want us to be looking up high at the sun at noontime. And they actually want us to have a certain period before we go to sleep when it's dark outside. And they say that's going to naturally train our rhythms in a healthier way. And it should be said that we live in a time when insomnia is a problem for a lot of people. You know, as I say in the piece, we're drenched in blue light and coffee. So it's not surprising that a lot of people suffer from insomnia. And the sleep experts say this is what we need to fix the insomnia problem.
Okay.
So I don't deny that matters, right? I care about people with insomnia, but I also think Americans aren't obliged to make sleep requirements into the only priority that they have, right? So a lot of times the reasons that people have for preferring to switch clocks or preferring a different option have to do with, say, outdoor recreation or time they want to spend with families or other personal priorities that they have. Why should we allow a group of experts to come in and, as I put it, sleep train us, as though keeping our sleeping hours consistent is the only thing that anybody should care about? That's what seems to me people like Musk and Ramaswamy are doing. And that seems to me like a bad kind of technocratic management, right? People don't always have to agree with medical experts or share all of their priorities.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. It seems to me that one of the big themes of your article is that the surveys that have been done, or a lot of the surveys that are often referenced when discussing Americans' preferences on this topic, are maybe not getting the most accurate results. And that actually the way that the question is phrased to people is very important for finding out what Americans' priorities are. What have you learned or concluded as you've been examining these different survey options about the best way to get to the core of what Americans actually care about when it comes to sleep and daylight?
This is a really interesting question. And I myself, because I do like switching clocks, started looking into this in part because I was having arguments with a lot of people who kept telling me I was in a minority and what I want is not what the American people want, and so on and so forth. And that seemed kind of strange to me, just because I know that Minnesotans love their summer evenings. As was mentioned before, I live on a lake. The evenings on the lake are delightful for us, but actually Minnesotans make a priority of making most of their lakes accessible. And in the evenings, there are people out in fishing boats, and they're swimming at the public beaches, and they're picnicking all the way until dark. It's a really wonderful time for us. And I guess I just think, am I the only person who cares about that? There have to be other people out there who value those things, right? So then I started looking into this and I found, yes, other people do value those things, right? But often the question that is being asked is something like, do you like switching your clocks in the spring and fall? So often then, of course, people will say, no, I don't really like that. I find that a little bit disorienting. That's not my favorite weekend of the year, right? But then, of course, you have to come back and ask, were they presented with a full spectrum set of options, right? Was it explained to them what the implications would be if they stopped switching their clocks? Maybe it wasn't, right? Maybe the person had some kind of agenda of their own and they just sort of looked for the thing that was most likely to gain agreement. You know, like, we all hate this clock switching, right? But they really didn't encourage them to elaborate on what they care about with respect to sleep and light and times of day, right? And then, of course, it turns out people do care about that, right? So I think really a lot of times in order to explore these questions, you really just have to try to assess what are the issues that people most care about that are of relevance to this topic. But that's a far more difficult, of course, right? I mean, it's much more difficult to actually think through the details of what a particular cultural change would mean for us than it is just to ask people, I don't know about clock switching. Don't like it? Yeah, I don't like it either. Yeah.
Let's just end daylight savings time.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Okay. Well, given the complexity of this issue and the difficulty of really helping people think through what the options are and getting to the core of what they want, what do you think is the likelihood that Congress is going to come to a consensus and actually pass a bill on this anytime soon? Is it going to happen, or are we just going to keep having this debate every few years?
It's worth noting that the last time this was attempted, it didn't go very far, right? So Marco Rubio tried it in 2018, and the thing that he was trying to do was actually more popular with the American people as a whole, but it still stalled and didn't really go anywhere. So if I had to guess, I would suggest that probably this is just going to be another thing that we fight about a little bit and then goes away and we think about other questions for a while. But it's hard to say for sure, right? It does sometimes happen that sometimes a thing suddenly gets more momentum and somebody takes the ball and runs with it and it becomes a real change that's on the table. So I guess that's why I wrote the article. It was a little bit of a playful piece. But I also thought, I think people should think in a broader spectrum way about what they most care about and what their priorities are. And I really think that actually a survey that is helpful would ask people what their highest priority is, right? Yeah. Because this is so interesting in that way, too, because actually the most interesting thing of all, and I have never seen a survey that asked about this, is not which of the three options you most like, but which of the three things you most are willing to let go, right? Because we're actually in a sort of odd pick two situation, right? You can have two of the three good things, but the other one you have to let go. So actually, it matters more which of them they most hate than which one they most like. That's more revealing in the end. But, you know, nobody's going to do a survey probably that asks people which of those three they really don't want.
I see. So we can get rid of the having to switch your clocks twice a year, But then you have to decide whether you're going to prioritize the earlier sunrise or having more sun, especially later in the evenings in that summer season.
Right. You got to sacrifice one of the three. Which of the three do you want to let go? That's actually the thing you most should want to know about people to see what Americans' priorities are. But it's a little bit strange to construct a survey that puts it that way.
Yeah. I know. When the question is phased that way, actually, I'm not entirely sure what I would choose. I'm going to have to give that a little bit more thought. I just came into this conversation knowing that I hated having to shift my clocks back and forth. But you've really illuminated the complexity of the issue here and done us a service. Thank you. I actually wonder, maybe we'll get to the second Sunday in March, which is the next time that we're supposed to spring forward. And maybe President Trump will just issue an executive order and then we'll have a new kind of debate over the constitutionality of that.
Yeah, right. That does seem possible. Yeah, that is definitely the kind of thing that could happen in our present moment.
Yeah. Well, now we all know what's at stake if that does happen. Well, thank you again for joining us. And we hope that our readers will look you up on lawandliberty.org and that you will, all of our audience members, join us again next time on The American Idea.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The American Idea. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and leave a 5-star review. If you want to learn more or get involved in Ashbrook's vital work, visit our website, ashbrook.org.